think he's going to do Monday. Magnus?
I'm here.
Good. Good. Wonderful. Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Oh, you have a cold, too?
I think mine, I hit mine about Wednesday, and I think it's getting better finally.
Oh, good. Yes, there's lots of things one can do, such as snorting glycothymoline and all kinds of things. Did I miss anybody? No.
Is it Magnus?
Magnus is here.
Magnus is here.
Yeah, he said hello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay.
And have all candles are lit?
Yes.
Good. So let's bless in unison. Go ahead.
Child of wonder.
Child of flame.
Nourish our spirit.
And protect our aim. Wonderful. So being in radiance and having two directions, to the east and to the south, for our diggings, dandings. Helen, what would you like to share about that?
Well, there is such an attraction to the words that I just feel so connected to them and to the ritual of it. I really love it. What came around radiance was twofold. At times there was this urge to soak up yellow sun color. And at other times, maybe because of what I was experiencing physically, when radiance kind of resonated in me, I was feeling a lot of like red-orange, or feeling like I almost had too much, even though I don't imagine that's what radiance means in this ritual, but that kind of came up.
Well, how did you feel about your illness?
I was telling Jennifer, there was two pieces to it. First of all, I wasn't fighting it. I felt in a way like I was detoxing and emptying out, and I felt like there's a powerful longing for more rest, which I think I just need, and which my body was almost saying, you know, if this is the way to get it, if you're not going to honor that desire any other way. I also had a lot of challenges the week before in terms of legal stuff. It's just really intensifying what's being asked of me to do. And I found that when I would go to deal with it, I was acutely uncomfortable during the dealing with it stage, but my capacity to release it once I did it was enormously different, like a 180-degree turnaround. But once I did it, it was over.
Yeah, right.
But the actual doing of it, I felt like I was burning up. And this was before I got the physical manifestations of being sick.
And so now you really get a good look at how sickness occurs in us.
Yeah.
Because you see, psychic, you had all the potentials for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same experience. And so it's really useful to watch that process unfold, even if you can't stop it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very gentle and loving with myself around it. And used it as a way to just nurture myself.
That's good. That's good, because then you don't have twice loss.
Right.
And you know, it is very valuable to see the process unfold of how something duplicates down from the psycho-emotional realms into the physical,
mm-hmm.
because that's the actual law of contagion.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with germs or viruses or anything. It is simply whether there's a match or not in tone.
Yeah. Yeah, I could really see and feel that. And I think that's what the radiance was. I felt, on one hand, there was the part that I welcome more. The heat in the sense of being nourishing and
right.
empowering. But then there was also that sense of that I was radiating too much of it at times.
Well, being in radiance, but I really want to see what other people experience with this, has a lot to do. You said you were longing for sun energy, and being in radiance sets us up as a sun.
Yeah.
So what you do with it is your choice.
Right.
You know, and how you use it is your choice. But I certainly, you know, had similar experiences going through a physical sort of problem with my neck, which I've never had before, in terms of sort of, as though I had dislocated it or something. Maybe I left it somewhere, I'm not sure. So, and then, you know, it's funny, at the point which I just don't care anymore, just now I stop focusing on it, it starts to get better, you know. And, yeah, there are things we do to get better, and then you sort of turn it over and you get more progress out of it, really.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're doing fine.
Yeah, I felt good about it.
Well, that counts, because a lot of times we get sick and we don't feel good about it. A lot of times we go through an experience that's discomforting in terms of the legal stuff, whatever is one's particular discomfort, and we don't feel good about it. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
Randy, how about you?
What? Hold on. Well, I really like this one a lot.
So we're batting 100% so far.
Yes, when I would say the rituals, I would just for a moment, like some of the other sayings, just feel a heightened awareness of physical surroundings, you know, the wind and the temperature and the my sight seemed clearer and just a heightened sense of that. And at points this week, I'll have to tell a story if we have time, but at points this week, it felt like the only stable thing in my life.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it's for, you know. You remember the story, but it was created for times when there was no anchors.
Mm.
You know, and when one could, well, lose their way entirely. And it creates a connection and an anchor to other realities and other possibilities, so that we don't have to sort of, you know, lose ourselves.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's good reporting on your part. And we have time for the story. It's just a question of where would you like to put it in, here or when we talk about working with the Asami, or what?
But I'll put it in here.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sure.
Just
I ask you to keep it to
real short.
Well, it's not the shortness. It's keep it to what we want to know for magical purposes. Yeah.
Yes. To summarize, I was called into my boss's office this week, and apparently there were some complaints about me from some people. I will say just in another department, and I have a very high-stress, high-pressure job. And
what do you do, Randy?
Well, I'm a case manager for mentally ill folks, but the court has mandated that we have 2.5 hours of time billed per client. And when you have 15 to 18 clients and you have to have 2.5 hours a week, that's a lot more time than there is working.
Right.
And if we don't make these hours, then the court makes us go back and start all over again for the process, because we have to get a straight year and a half of making hours on all these folks. So to make a long story short, there have been some complaints from one of the residential houses about me. And I came to the conclusion that, I remember that I would get stressed in my job and find that things were not working properly in the organization and things were messed up. And so sometimes I'd take my frustration out on some of these people at this house because they made a lot more demands on me than the other houses. So
the house where you're living.
Hmm?
The house where you're living.
Elsewhere, one of my clients was living. It's a group home.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Group home. And it's the staff at the group home that I deal with.
Right.
And so what I came up with was that when I am stressed and get frustrated and put out negative, bitchy energy, it comes right back at me. And I think that's basically what happened.
You think that was the basis of the complaints?
Well, yeah. Well, no, the complaints against me were more of a sort of looking for something to get me on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the reason for that was because it matched your tone or your stress.
Yeah, I brought it about.
Right.
And
that's a very powerful realization.
Yeah. But my boss told me this yesterday that she had lost confidence in my abilities and and I was just pretty devastated. And so it was really ironic that I had to go to a psych ward on the hospital yesterday afternoon to visit one of my clients who had suicidal ideation, or basically, thinking about killing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she didn't have suicide ideation, and I was wondering why was she in there. And so I go and meet her, and she's not having suicide ideation, but I am. So, just strange.
It's not so strange in a way, because that's the whole point of radiance. You are emanating those energies very well. So that also says that you're good at that. So what do you want to emanate?
Well, I want to emanate positive energy. I'd have to think about it.
Well, you can think about it, and I'm sure you know, it's just putting it into words or putting it into words. Right. And don't be so devastated. You can be devastated, but don't let it contaminate all of your views of yourself, because it may mean things that you don't know about.
That's true. You're right.
You know, and it may be that you're done with that career.
Yeah.
You know, or at least in the way you've been doing it, or how, for whom you've been doing it.
Yeah.
It may not serve you anymore.
No, I would definitely trade this job. Something else. But
yeah. So make the most of it while you're there.
Yeah. Hell, exactly.
You know, and learn as much as you can about you and about what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of intent is just telling you something. So
the spirit of intent is telling me something.
Yeah. Yeah, so
spirit of intent.
Yeah, forces in the universe are talking to you.
Ah, right.
Mm-hmm. And you are capable of getting that instruction, whereas most people are not. So even though it's tough, even though it feels like it's threatening, use the force of it to start to pull to you something higher, rather than to contaminate your view of yourself.
Yes.
And to lower your forces.
Mm-hmm.
And just realize this is an indicator, and that something much better is in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool. Magnus, how about you?
The acid ritual and the morning and evening rituals, they came out really good. This was a week of, I had a lot of inner knowledge regarding the best way to handle the situation. As a matter of fact, something that has been, since after the accident, has been giving problems. On Friday, I was given a clue on whom to talk to, call and report how I feel about it. And I also had a kind of revelation, in the sense that a better way to do something. I used to do it that way before, but it entailed a lot of work. So I kind of say, well, let me not do it this way. But this week it dawned on me that that's the best way to handle it. That way I don't have to be stressed. Also this week, there was a manifestation of physical strength beyond my knowledge. As a matter of fact, when I went to work yesterday, humanly, I was doubtful if I can make it, because yesterday is my longest hour on schedule. I have to put in at least 13 hours. I have flat feet, my feet hurt. I say, how am I going to keep up with standing, walking around, and things like that? But I don't know what happened. I wouldn't let go. It was like, I don't want to go home. I want to still walk at the end, because I was full of strength and vitality.
Mm-hmm.
There was another peculiar thing that happened yesterday, which was, to me, it's a big fulfillment. Last week, Thursday, because that's a reading we have, they read us every, basically at the end of the week, which is on Saturday. So, somebody said, a guy who knows me very well, as a matter of fact, he respects me highly when it comes to spiritual things. He listens to me when we talk. So, I mean, yesterday he was saying, when I had about 2 hours to go, he said, there's no way you're going to beat the record of last week. I asked him, do you want to bet? Mr. Magnus, I'm scared to bet you, but I won't bet you. You know, we were laughing at everything. I was at the closing time, I was about 5 points beyond that limit.
Wow.
Then I told my manager, when you see Kevin Brown, tell him I surpassed last week's record. And another thing also was, I think on Friday early morning, should it be Saturday, everything revolving around Saturday. I was surprised because I set my answering machine, my calls forward sometimes. When I don't take it, it forwards to a different voicemail. But when I want to take it, I reset my answering machine. I was surprised. It was around 4:30 in the morning. I was sleeping. My son called. He needed some certain things to, you know, to address. He's in college, you know, college students and their needs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The call came through. I was deep asleep, but how I heard the phone ring, I picked up the phone, and the answering machine did not cut him off after the second ring. I never thought about that, but later I said, what really happened?
Hmm.
I walked around, checked my answering machine. It was on.
Yeah.
So it was a very nice week of fulfillment.
So your intentions are really radiating out too.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're seeing that you can affect, your reality becomes stronger than, say, the ordinary reality. It isn't so much necessarily that you are changing the function of the answering machine, but you're changing the whole shape of reality.
I think so.
Yeah, right. And that's what Randy and Helen are talking about too. It's like getting a very fast car when you've been used to driving a very slow one. And the car will do all kinds of things, but we have to learn how. And so you all are having really good experiences in terms of projecting your energy outward. And of course, now you want to refine how you use it so that it meets your aim. It's just, Magnus, you're sort of getting a little more benefit in terms of, because you set an intention, a really good intention. And Randy and Helen, I think you all are too, but you could work even more in terms of, like Randy, you could go ahead and set an intention that you're going to call in something much better, even if, you know, like temporary for a year or two,
mm-hmm.
while you're training to do your real work, even though you don't necessarily know what that is yet.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But because you see that you have this ability to attract, go ahead and start attracting. Start focusing on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Helen, you too. I mean, it's like you've gotten over the hump of being crippled by legal stuff. Who knows? I mean, I know this would sound stupid.
Sure.
Maybe legality is your path. Who knows?
I don't think so, but I'd like to live in harmony with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, I understand what you're saying. You don't, but it may be, in a sense, that you may be one of the people sent to correct some of the, dehumanizing factors of the legal path.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, don't shut the door on anything necessarily, because we don't know enough to know, but just sort of open ourselves to a higher understanding of what's afoot. And Jennifer, how about you?
Well, I had a block till about Wednesday, and then my nose. What I mean by block is I'd say the ritual, and there was nothing there. It was just a solid stalk. So I kept saying it, kept thinking, well, ounces, this is supposed to be good. I should feel something. And then my nose plugged up. I couldn't hardly breathe, and I thought went nuts. And then the next night I broke a fever, and then just yesterday it started working. I could feel the outflow of energy coming, and this seems to be clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know what happened, but...
Well, I know what happened.
Okay.
Well, you have seen yourself throughout a large part of your life as, say, a not very significant person, is that not so?
Yeah.
And it isn't true. So you have, in certain ways, shut down your output for a long time. Shut down your radiance. And so you got a model of that. You got to see what you can do. You can put yourself into such a position that you just don't emanate and you don't radiate. And then, of course, the physical blockage just shows you a picture of what that does. And you remember all these different pains you've had throughout your body?
Yeah.
Well, these are all pictures of the inner condition that you've set up with yourself only because you doubted yourself. And so as you start to release the doubt, like everybody has said, it's sort of getting to that place, well, I'm up for whatever, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to be limited by my past beliefs or past behaviors or past viewpoints, past opinions, and I don't know what's coming, but I'm okay with it. And at that point, something starts to come in and something starts to go out. So that's what it sounds like to me. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, you will gain by it, obviously, because you are who you are. I mean, you have a lot of knowledge, you have a lot of force, you have a lot of perseverance. You don't give up. You see things clearly. You have a very strong investigative mind and nature. So it's going to start working for you. It already is. It's going to work even more.
Right.
So because we're starting with water this week and our chalice and so forth, we'll add the third direction, which is west. It's well indicated in your notes. We'll be addressing winds of feeling. And the exit ritual is with compassion. So since you all had an experience of radiance, now it's good to have an experience of compassion, so that you can reap the benefits, or emotionally anyway, of that which you radiate. Does not mean if you saw in radiance that things got all strange, that that's going to be the same in compassion either. So, winds of feeling with compassion, I bid you good morning. And the hands face the sky, palms face the sky. Arms in the same position as we've done to the east and to the south, just flip the hands over so they face upward. And enjoy that one too, because it will be equally inviting and very humanizing. So Helen, and did you undertake to do any healings for yourself with your Asami or any other things?
No, I didn't. I worked, but I found just working in this state was about all I could do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really behind on Asami.
Have you keyed your Asami?
No.
When were you planning to do that?
Well, I'm counting on getting better each day and just going to monitor how much it feels like I can do without overdoing it.
Uh-huh.
I have the chalice stuff for this week, so I'm set to go on that level.
Well, why don't you key your Asami at the same time?
Yeah, I could do that.
Why don't you key your Asami and your chalice? Do you have your plate, too?
No, I don't have my plate yet.
Just take a dinner plate.
Okay.
Because I want everybody to key their plates tonight.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Because the key is just like your chalice.
Right.
If you have your fireball lit and charged, as long as you have a magnet and a sun candle, you can do your Asami. It takes about 3 minutes.
Okay.
If that.
Okay.
Maybe about a minute. I mean, it just isn't that complicated.
No.
And then you can, see, because you can start sweeping yourself with yellow orange, red orange with your Asami and clear out a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
And I know the temptation is when we feel sick is to sort of stop doing things. But I'll tell you what, it is well worth the effort. It's not that much effort. I had Stephanie pull electric glue out of my neck, and that made a significant difference. Could have done it myself, but it's just a little hard to reach.
Uh-huh.
So don't be afraid to do things, even if you feel bad, because, you know, just the power, the act of power of doing it, it separates you from the level of that which afflicted you. And that's significant. Even if you think that what you did didn't help, it helps. It has to.
Yeah, I believe that.
Because, you see, what you're showing, what all of us are finding out is that disease happens, sickness happens, when we match a tone that includes those energies of what we call the symptoms of an illness. And it always happens in the psychic body first. In the non-physical realms.
Right.
You know, so when you then do some act of healing or whatever in those realms, you see you're shifting your tone right then and there.
Right.
So at least you're no longer a match to that which was affecting you.
Uh-huh. It makes sense.
Sure.
And oddly, it was very curious because in my private practice, it's really mushrooming. I just found the contradictory stuff coming up for me really helped me to see the way I sometimes will pull back as I move into my radiance or my power.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 new clients this week.
Right, right.
You know, who I worked with. But then there's a part of me that tells myself I can't handle anymore, you know.
Well, okay, but you don't have to believe that part, do you?
No, I hear you. I know this to be true. I just didn't follow up on it.
Sure. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But you see, just think about this. 2 months ago, legal stuff would have dissolved you in a pool of tears. Now you can deal with legal stuff. Nothing has changed. You haven't grown 6 feet taller. You haven't armored yourself with steel. You haven't become the Tin Man. You know, all that you did is get rid of some nonsense in your mind, in reactive mind.
Yeah.
That's all you did.
But the other part that happened, though, and that what I tell myself wiped me out, was that I entered the fear so strongly that even though I did it, I could really feel the fear on a physical level. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think...
So what color is it?
It's orange.
No, not fear. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would be an air then, you mean. I'm a bit confused about this because the other strange thing why I was thinking it wasn't air was because it felt more like a release. My thoughts actually were the calmest they've ever been about it. You know, it almost felt like something I'd been holding in my body was just releasing.
Well, you had been holding it in your body, for sure. That's
right.
No question, but...
But the thoughts were oddly very benign as I was going through that, or almost neutral.
Well, because you were only experiencing the memory of fear. You weren't in present time fear. You thought you were.
Okay. So it's still air, even though my thinking process
well,
in the present sounded...
Fear is not just air. It's one of those mixes.
Okay. I guess what I was focusing on was the fire component of it.
There's almost no fire component in fear.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It felt so hot.
That was your reaction to it.
Okay.
Actually, has anybody else been stopped by fear in a moment of fear? Anybody can remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what color was it? What did you feel? What did you feel at that instant?
I think I might have it.
Okay, go ahead.
Frozen water.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Okay.
It's icy. What it is it's that intense electric air blue.
Okay.
It's like the, you know what an iceberg looks like?
Yeah.
Color of an iceberg?
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, the blue color of an iceberg in an ice cave, that's the color of fear.
Okay. So it's, the heat is almost like the heat you get when you touch, ice, you know, and get that ice burn.
Yeah, there's a perception of that, but a lot of times what happens is that fear can instantly turn to shame, and shame is yellow, orange, red, orange.
Okay.
So it depends, but if when you actually have a moment of fear, it's that icy, it freezes you. That's why people freeze up.
Right.
Right on.
Okay.
So, Brandy, did you do any things with your family that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I did a psychic Teflon.
Cool.
And
onto your walls and such?
Yeah, and I did also do the banishment first.
Oh, tell us about the banishment. What did it, did you notice any difference? How did it, I mean, was it a fairly smooth operation for you?
It was fairly smooth. Now, I think I got confused on quite how to do the sealing with the banishment. But,
the sealing?
Mm-hmm.
You don't?
You don't? Okay. That's good.
No, it's just you're just forming one wall and then swinging the gate
around, yep.
And round, but you extend the wall all the way through the ceilings of the roof of the house.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But there's nothing that you do. Don't confuse it with cutting of lines.
Okay.
Over and under and such.
Okay.
So you did your swinging gate, and then you locked it in on the left side of a frame of something?
Locked it on the left side, and I had that...
turned your knife and made that flare.
Made the flare and pushed out and said, stay out.
Go away and stay away, or go out and stay out?
Yep, go away and stay away.
Right. Okay. So, did anything feel different to you afterwards?
Well, yes, it did. Felt like I had cleaned my house of bad bad spirits.
And well, maybe.
And also, I included my ones that were I felt that were kind of whispering negative stuff in my ear.
Well, anybody that's there is going to leave.
Anybody what?
Anybody that's there is going to leave.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to worry about that. They're not going to stick around.
Yeah.
When did you do that, by the by?
I did it, let's see, when was it? Yesterday? Yesterday.
And when did you have that discussion with your boss?
That was with my boss?
Yeah.
That was on Friday.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just curious if you...
if it happened before.
Well, I don't know. But if you sort of were banishing influences in your life in a sense that were not agreeable... That would work more with cutting of lines, really.
Well, I tell you, I had wished I had someone here to cut my lines Friday night.
Well, you still may want to get together with Helen. You all live in the same town, right?
Yeah, we're close.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Well, I strongly urge you all to get together and cut one another's lines.
Yeah, I'd really like that.
The sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, you're both being affected by things in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what line cutting is for.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I know line cutting is effective because you did it with me that one time.
Oh, when you were here?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Helen needs it. She needs you to do that, and you need her to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to get together.
Yeah.
Might want to do that. And Magnus, did you do things with your family you want to share?
Well, I am kind of catching up with a lot of things I didn't do with my one.
Hey, have you keyed your economy?
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
I keyed it.
Any problem with the keying of it?
No problem.
Okay.
Rather, if it's a problem, it has nothing to do with that. I ran out of charcoal, and I was given, I said, right there, trying to find a place in Little Rock here where I can get some...
Church supply. Any church supply house.
But the church supply house, one of them actually stopped by. All they had was Bibles.
Oh, really?
Yes, Bibles and, you know, promises of the Bible and things like that.
Right.
I was even surprised because I did the searching online, you know, spiritual supplies, and they put up this address.
Uh-huh.
But I was...
Hold on a sec. Stephanie will tell you something.
Okay, if any of you guys need fireball supplies, we just ordered a bunch of it, and I'll be putting it up on the website, like, in the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. So, I mean, if anybody needs charcoal, resin, sage, moxa, any of that, just email me, and, you know, I'll send it to you. And,
okay.
Yeah. That way y'all don't have to go around and look, because we get it pretty good at wholesale, so.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Randy, what'd you say?
Yeah, I just ordered from that Native Sense company.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we order from them, too, and we order from Far West, out of California, too.
Hmm.
But there'll be lots of supplies available coming up. But Magnus, do start to work with the Asami because it's a very powerful tool, and you know we're going to be moving on into other tools. So you don't want to lose the benefit of working with it.
Yes, I will try. Even tomorrow, I'm off. I don't know. I intend to see if I can go around the town. There got to be a way.
Oh, you for charcoal? So you mean to key your thumbing?
No.
No, you key.
I've already keyed it. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm mixing things up. Yes, the management will. I think I would have done it, but kind of putting it off my will. And when I come home, I'm exhausted. Or
yeah, I understand. Something. But when you can do that and try cutting lines on someone if you can.
That will be. I talk to this guy when I meet him at work on Tuesday to see if he has a new line cutting.
Anybody can use line cutting. Yeah. That's.
But,
do you live alone?
Me? Yes, I live alone.
Oh, okay. So if you don't have anybody there, you can cut lines.
Yes. But as for the attorney, since I'm not going anywhere after the class, I will try to do it tonight.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Since it's speed and everything, it's just to... why I had to mention the charcoal was the, I think, the chalice when I watched the video.
Oh, right.
Keying it.
Right.
That's what is giving me concern about the charcoal.
What you can do, even if you don't have charcoal, you can take the sage and light it, put a clump of it in a little, not necessarily like, say, a metal lid of a jar or something. Well, if as long as it doesn't have plastic in it. Just any little dish that won't, you know, blow up or something like that, or a metal, anything that will confine it a little bit, put a clump of sage and light it, and then blow it out and see if you can blow on a little bit and get it to smolder.
Oh, yes.
I've done that.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you might be able to get it going that way. Enough that you can get some resin on it and get enough smoke to go ahead and key your chalice and your plate. Because it doesn't take that long to smoke it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll describe that process in a little bit.
Alan, could you use a smudge stick?
No.
No, okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
What you can do, though, is use a smudge stick light it and use that as a base, and then put some sage and some pine resin on it.
Okay.
If you don't have charcoal.
Yeah, I actually do have some charcoal, but I was just curious.
Yeah, smudge sticks will do certain things, but they won't key tools.
Okay.
For one, if there's no pine resin with smudge sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So primarily they're air. It's just not the best mix. And when you start taking shortcuts or changing the process, you don't know what you end up with.
Exactly.
Jennifer, what kind of things, did you do anything with your Thalmy that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I did a house banishment.
Did you? What did that feel like?
I did the circle. I hooked it, and then I did the circle. And then when I pushed out like that last piece of pie,
mm-hmm.
Well, that took a lot of effort.
Oh, really?
You days, yeah.
Pushing to get something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you gave that command, go away and stay away?
Yeah, when I got it to the end.
Yeah.
And then I smoked the house, and then I Teflon my entry.
Cool, cool.
And it seemed like there's more air in the house, or it's lighter or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it would seem lighter. And maybe less chatter.
Yeah, maybe static. Is it?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, when there may not even be, like, you know, very downtown or malicious spirits around, but sometimes they just make a lot of psychic noise. Some people are more sensitive to it. Like, some people are sensitive to fluorescent lights, you know. Some people buzz when there are too many spirits around. Cool. And I do, you might consider cutting lines on Craig just for the practice, if you'll let
me. I did. I did, and I felt some resistance on the back side of the...
Oh, on the back cut?
On
the back cut?
Yeah. And I also did my 5-year-old.
Oh, did you? Good. Cool.
Yes. And I felt resistance on the first cut on him.
Yeah.
I thought that real interesting.
Yeah.
He seemed like quite a guy. And then, you know, he calmed down. He's kind of, it's a tearing up stuff in that. And that kind of left him. So that was neat.
Well, that's the whole thing, you see. A lot of times that's an influence, you know, from somewhere else.
Well, I thought, I'm just imagining that. So I got to ask Craig, and Craig saw it too. Yeah, I thought that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. You know, even with kids, or adults, whatever, that have been abused, psychically, emotionally, physically, whatever, you know, a lot of times it isn't just the memory of it itself that is causing desire or difficult behaviors or whatever, nightmares, whatever, but the actual lines that still exist between the abuser and the abusee. And so when you cut the stuff, that's why I'm saying that almost anybody will benefit from line cutting. You really set the person free. And what's really interesting, if you don't have a lot of engrams or bank stuff on whatever that is, what, you know, being abused or whatever, if you haven't had a lot of past misunderstandings or, you know, non-survival issues about it, it clears up right away. There's very little attachment to it once those lines are cut.
Another thing, when I got sick, I used the Athami to try to put color in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made things worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It just ballooned out, and then I cut out.
Too much. Too strong.
Oh, okay.
Too focused. So sweeping is better.
Well, I tried to sweep, and I tried pulling. And
yeah, that's very useful with the Atomic.
But it just kind of made it all worse, so I quit that. And then things kind of eased up, started clearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would have swept with the wand, I think, for that. That would probably work better.
I tried that, too.
Oh, and that didn't help either?
It didn't seem to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was something apparently you needed to see and to experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so we've gotten through two tools, and then we come up to the chalice, and, of course, the plate. And part of the reason I want you all to key your plates is so that you can start to key your tarot decks. So I have to remember to tell you all how to do that after we talk about the chalice. And be sure that you don't use distilled water in your chalice or tap water. You can use well water, spring water, river water, rain water. Problem with distilled water is it's dead. There's nothing in it. And the problem with tap water is there's too much stuff in it that we don't want, i.e. chlorine and rat poison and so forth, sodium fluoride.
The notes say distilled water, though.
No.
No distilled water?
Wait, let me see. I just looked at it.
The preparation?
Oh, it does say or distilled water. I don't like distilled water.
Oh, okay.
It's dead. There's nothing in it. It's not alive. It does have distilled. I thought it said no distilled. It does say or distilled. Well, if you have distilled and want to use it, it's not saying it won't work. Just never cared for it. I know people shouldn't drink it. I run into a lot of people that drink distilled water, think it's healthy. It's not. Pulls your own minerals out. So it's really easy to key. Well, we won't talk about that yet. charging. This is charging it for doing your area cleansings, personal cleansings, object cleansings. So now you can do a four-element cleansing once you've keyed your chalice, because you'll have air and fire with your fireball and water and earth with your chalice, which is accomplished by water and salt, sea salt, real salt, preferably not iodized salt, because it's the crystal structure is rearranged in that. It isn't as viable. Crushed rock salt works. And I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think that margarita salt is just simply rock salt. I don't think that's iodized. If one happens to have that on hand. And just like with your fireball, you sit in the south facing north, you hold the chalice in your hands by the bowl, you don't have to hold it while you're putting stuff in, but you put some spring water, well water in it. It doesn't have to be full or filled, just as much as you'll need for whatever you're doing. Add a pinch of sea salt or crushed rock salt. It doesn't have to be a lot. It's just the energy of it wants to be there. And you swirl the water and the salt clockwise with your hands holding the bowl to mix it. And then to charge it, have a color source of water blue handy. This is where if you have a water blue talus, it's kind of nice. You don't need a color source. You breathe water blue into the water, swirl it clockwise, and then water and earth where you were cast. Breathe water blue in again, swirl it clockwise, let no spell nor adverse purpose last. So it's just exactly like doing the fireball, except it starts with water and earth where you were cast. And you kind of do it in a more watery, rolling voice than a more sharp air and fire voice, if you like. We haven't studied sonics yet, but we're getting there. And then, of course, just between every line, breathe water blue, swirl clockwise, take your time, don't hurry it, and then say the lines. Just like we did before, you can cleanse these walls and cleanse this space, or cleanse these tools and cleanse their space, these people or this person cleanse their space. Specify it according to what you're going to do. You can do multiple charge verses, that's fine. Or charge lines. And when you've done your last, thus my will so it be, breathe one more water blue and swirl clockwise, and then you're ready to use it.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you charge this to, like, cleanse the tools,
mm-hmm.
and you want to use it to cleanse a room then, should you pour it out and start over?
No. You don't have to pour it out. I would just recharge it, including that verse. Or charge it again and say, in this time, you've already cleansed the tools, then don't say that. Say, cleanse these walls and cleanse their space. In this space, I mean.
The same way with the fireball?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to put it out or anything. Just recharge it. Just say the verses again. I'll go over keying in a little bit. I want to talk about all the other things first and then talk about keying it so it's fresh in your mind. And I'll talk about keying both the talus and the plate both. And of course there's a note here how you can emergency key a talus. And this is more like if you're in a restaurant or you're out at somebody's house and you want to do some scrying, because you can use the talus like a water bowl, a standing water bowl, you can hold either a coffee cup or somebody's goblet or talus of whatever in your hands and flow water blue energy through it, just like you were doing the water circulating exercise with another person, except in this case you're circulating water blue through your own body, down your arms, into the chalice, up your other arm. Do that. Have water. I would have water in it while you're doing it, by the way. And do it for about 3 minutes, and you've got a key chalice to use, you know, like you would an emergency key to Thami for a short period of time. And then if you don't want the water poured out, but if you do want the water, you've got it in. It's already, it's been part of that keying process. You still have to charge it, though, if you're going to use it. Of course, now understand that if your keying tools, or if you are doing a house cleaning, you don't need a key talus for that. For house cleaning, I like to, but the tools, you do not. You need to charge it, but you do not need a key talus. Therefore, when you key your talus tonight after class, all you need to do it is any other water goblet you've got on hand, or a wine glass, whatever, because it's not going to be keyed, but you will end up with your chalice keyed, but you do charge it.
And is it ever helpful to drink the water?
Yes. It is. That's part of, in fact, the night blessing that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
You can all, some people have found that if after you've done a house cleaning, you've still got some water and salt in your chalice, if it's dark in the room and you pour it down the drain, sometimes you can see like a water blue light coming up out of the drain.
Oh, neat.
And the notes indicate that, but it doesn't mean you have to have it dark to pour the water out down the drain. But I wouldn't. I would use that water to water a plant or something, since it's such nice energy in it. And you don't have that much salt in it. It shouldn't be salty to your taste. That would be too much salt. You don't need that much. Now, the best way to store a chalice is to stand it on your key plate, unwrapped, because it is a standing omnibus in itself, and you can keep jewelry and things in it, light things in it, and they stay protected. If you're going to travel with it, though, wrap it in some kind of a special cloth, linen, silk, leather, cotton, natural cloth. Dish towels work well. They're pretty natural. Most of them are pretty much cotton. Or you can make a special carrying bag or carrying case or whatever if you travel a lot. You might want to have more than one key chalice. We have dozens of them. They're very useful, particularly when we get to chalice and plate protectors. They don't have to be glass, you know. You can have a brass chalice, a silver chalice, a ceramic chalice, even, I don't know, wood wouldn't work that well, but what you don't want is those esoteric ones you see that are combinations, like silver bottom and glass top, or like made in two parts. They don't key very well. You want it to be fairly consistent, not too ornate. If it's too ornate, you can't wipe it on it. It would be hard to key it. Now, if you wash your chalice, don't wash it in the dishwasher. No magical tools in the dishwasher, guys. That's a no-no. It's too violent. But you can wash it, no problem. Just, if you wipe it, either wet or dry, do it just like you did when you key it. Same motion, same movement or pattern. And that's fine. So, to do a four-element cleansing, you know how to do two elements. We've done that with the fireball. You do that first. You don't just go do a chalice cleansing, as far as area cleansings. Night blessing, that's a different story. But if you're going to do a house cleaning, room cleaning, start with your fireball, do fire and air, then your chalice. You can charge them both at the same time. You don't have to charge the fireball, then go do all that, come back and charge the chalice. You can charge the fireball, set it down, let it build up some smoke, charge the chalice, set it on your altar or working area, and go off with the fireball, do that cleansing. If you want to get together in pairs of people, one person can do the fireball, and then the person with the chalice follows. We do that all the time. But if you're doing it alone, do the fireball, the entire operation, come back, set it down on your altar, either put a plate over it to put it out if you want, or a cover, and then go with your chalice in the same pattern that you did with the fireball, except you don't use lemon essence. You dip your fingers into the water and the salt, and you flick your first two fingers off of your thumb at the wall, or the mirrors, or whatever, going in the same pattern. Start exactly where you started, where your first lemniscate was with the fireball. Your first flick is with the chalice. But the nice thing about those flicks is you can get a real good spread, and you're not washing the walls, you're not dousing the walls, you're not flooding the walls, you're simply spreading drops of water in a wide pattern up and down and side to side with one flick. You can get pretty good at that. You can get quite a nice spread, and then you go 2 or 3 feet to your right and do another one. 3 or 4, whatever your spread is, and just keep going. And do this, just walk the same pattern, flicking the walls, mirrors, TVs, and such, to come back to where you began, just like you were doing with the fireball, except now to tie it off, since we don't use lemniscates, you cover your beginning part a couple of flicks. So you go beyond where you started, one flick and another flick. And that ties it off very neatly. Now you've got a four-element cleansing. You can do people the same way. Or an option to that, if some people feel weird being flicked with water and salt, is you can stand in front of the person, dip your fingers in the water and salt, touch them, 2 fingers on the forehead, and say such nice things as for the peace of your mind, or the healing of your mind, and then touch, dip them again and touch them in the middle of the chest and say for the compassion of your heart, or the cleansing of your heart, or something such as that. That's a nice way to cleanse too. You can have them take a sip from it between doing the forehead and the chest. If you do the flick method going around them, you can also have them take a sip of it.
It sounds like holy water.
It's exactly what it is. It's clearer than holy water.
Yeah.
But in past times, that would be the way that holy water would be made, would be to chant it.
Uh-huh. I don't know what Catholics do to their holy water.
Spit in it.
I guess they drink it.
Well, it depends. It depends. Some do charge it. In the old ways, they charged it. That was the proper way. But it depends where you're talking. There's so many different areas and different customs, even in the church. Some consider that waters from certain springs, like Lourdes and so forth, are holy and sacred and so forth. Others bless it, which is probably virtually like charging it.
Yes. At my church, we deal with a lot of holy water.
And do you know how they charge it, or how they holy
We just, we call it consecration.
Yeah, you consecrate it.
I'm sorry, in 7 candles, like in coffin form,
mm-hmm.
and the bucket or whatever container is in the middle, then use incense and smoke incense or light stick incense and put the staff on it and consecrate it.
Right, right.
You can use it to wash your car. Then depending on the elder doing the ritual, he might add salt, but not necessarily salt added every time of consecration.
Cool.
Then use a palm frond, the real palm tree that has cannel fruits. The frond, that is the first, I don't know if I
palm frond. Palm frond.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
It's fun yellow in color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the leaves, when the branches are shooting out, it comes in palm frond first before it forms stem and all that branches out. So they take that and tie about 7 or 3 of them and put it in the water, then use it and sprinkle on people.
Right, right, right.
And I mean, as Stephen said this, I've been listening. I said, wow.
Something
done in different form.
Right, right. Now, since I'm really glad you brought that up. You all will learn in Earth religions how to consecrate materials, okay? That's a different operation than charging.
Yes.
And the neat thing about it, when you consecrate materials, you do it with all 4 tools. You have litanies which you say, and with each tool. So when you consecrate materials, you not only consecrate the material itself, but what the containers that it goes in. And you do it with your wand, and then your thami, and then your chalice, and then your plate.
Great.
What church is that, Magnus?
The name is Eternal Sacred Order of Cherubim and Seraphim. They have 2 branches here. I've not been in touch. I don't know how they're faring. They have one in New York and one in Houston. Back home, they call us, this is not a church, it's a secret society. They are magicians. Because of the way they outfit and the way they operate. They use ghetto and, you know, gown as church uniform. White, then those in red, we have in yellow color, blue color, red for victory. When you are doing victory prayers. That's kind of.
So originally it was an order, it was a magic order.
I think you can say that. Now, you see, taking this course, I'm beginning to relate with how people feel and what really is practiced.
Right. But it's I guess here it's called more of a religion because that fits in with people's understanding better. Okay, so the night blessing, for objects, jewelry, clothing, whatever, your tarot deck when you buy it, if you want to do a 4-element cleansing on it, I don't mean card by card, but I mean just the whole thing before you begin using it, you obviously can hold anything in the smoke and smoke all sides, just like you do with your when you're keying your tools with the fireball, and then with the chalice, just hold the object up and flick various all different sides of it with the water and the salt. If it's something like a pendant, you want to dip it in the water and salt, you can, but it's not necessary. Or if it's a flat type thing, like a picture or something, as long as it won't be damaged by the water at all, you just lay it flat and flick it, and then turn it over and flick it. That's fine. Any of those ways is fine. And then, for the night blessing ritual, which is really fun to do, particularly if you have a family or a bunch of people together. It's just like what's done in the Catholic Church. It's just a little more than what's done. What's called genuflecting and so forth. So you can charge your chalice, water and earth where you are cast, and so forth and so on. Bless these people and bless their space. And that's a nice charge verse. And then you hold your chalice in your left hand and face the person you're blessing. And you can go to, you know, clockwise if it's a group around in a circle or down the line to the right if it's just a few people. And you draw this pattern on their forehead and on their chest. And it's the same thing you see Catholics do when they draw the cross. Or the priest does, and so forth, except it's a cross in a circle. So you do step 1, which is the vertical line, and step 2, you do the crossing or horizontal line, and then you when you get from the left to the right, you just go clockwise and do the circle all the way around.
Alan, what's the significance of the circle to put around the cross?
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you.
Oh, got you first.
Well, what does the cross mean?
As above, so below?
Oh, that's a good statement. So it doesn't refer then to the cross that Christ was hung on, does it?
That's not the way that isn't what first came to my mind, no.
But the Catholics, most of Christian religions think it is, don't they?
I guess. But I stopped practicing Catholicism.
Well, whether or no, I'm saying let's clear up some symbols here. Okay, do you know of anywhere where you've seen that symbol?
You mean outside of churches?
Yeah, not talking about churches. The cross with a circle around it.
Oh, with a circle around it.
I don't remember if it's Rosicrucian order.
Okay, they have it, yeah. Do you know in astrology what it represents? Anybody?
I don't know. It's
no.
A seal.
No?
Hmm? It's a part of fortune.
Oh.
In astrology.
Hmm.
Okay. The cross itself, just the two lines, represent world-level manifestation.
Lower-level manifestation.
World level, not lower. The world that we live in.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's the line for... that symbol of the cross would represent, for instance, longitude and latitude. It forms a point in space and a particular place in the world plane. I.e., if you want to describe your position to someone, you have to give them coordinates in the vertical and coordinates in the horizontal. Is that so?
Right.
And that defines you in the world. It puts you on the surface of this earth somewhere.
Because we use that, I'm sorry to cut you off. We use that a lot. You know, we have something we do on Friday. We call Mark of Cross.
Okay.
And we call it seal. The most elder in the congregation does it. You know, he will use olive oil and maybe sometimes some blend of scent after some consecration.
Right.
Use it and put mark of cross on your forehead.
Right. And what does that represent?
He would say you are sealed by the seal of the living God.
Okay, you are sealed. Okay.
Sealed, yes.
And so what that means to me is you are who you are. It's sort of like giving people a sense of beingness.
Yes.
Okay? And you see, it's what's called an anchor point. You'll learn a lot about this in basic shamanism. But the fact is that when we have a body, that body represents an anchor point. As a spirit, your beingness is your anchor point. But a lot of people lose their way or their sense of that. So when the priest does that mark or that seal on you, he is reaffirming your beingness, okay? As a circle. And when you put the circle around it, that gives you boundaries. It limits it. So it says you are not only at this particular place, but you are safe in here.
kind of field.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and that's why it's used in the night blessing, because it's used on the forehead and on the in the heart area. It's used for the mind and for the spirit.
Does the sealing, in terms of manifestation, heighten the power in some way, like sort of give it a focus?
Well, of course.
Okay.
That is, I believe, like government seal.
Yeah.
High authority.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And see, you as an individual, Magnus, Randy, Jennifer, Helen, you are a personification of all that is. And so that affirms that. You are the individualized part of all that is. So it's sort of like a reminder, it's like the Navajo Beauty Way, it's just a whole other ritual. And then the chalice also can be used for throwing bolts, water blue bolts, for banishment, for knocking people off their pedestals. If you don't like the way your boss dealt with you, Randy, in terms of telling you that she had lost trust in you and that you were a nincompoop and a boob, and you want to throw a water blue bolt at her, to knock her off her high horse, go for it. Of course, you know I'm joking. I wouldn't go that far.
I like her. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
To anybody, but.
But if you're dealing with someone that needs to be knocked off, that's not a bad way. And if you're dealing with a physical or a non-physical attacker or nuisance, the chalice is useful in that regard. It won't really damage them. It just sort of like hitting somebody with a water hose.
That's pretty shocking.
It can be. And since most people don't handle water energy that well anyway, on the psychic emotional level, hitting them with a bunch of water can be somewhat refreshing or alarming. Okay, so we'll talk last about how to key your chalice in your plate, and I'll refresh you for anyone who hasn't keyed their Asami. I'll even hit that too. But before I do that even, because now you'll have a key plate, even though we haven't done plates yet, and if you have gotten your tarot deck and want to start keying it, I want to tell you how. Like I say, if you want to do a four-element cleansing on it before you start, fine. You do that on the whole deck. Then the next thing you do is you open your deck, break the seal, take the cellophane off, take the face cards and put them back in the box. They're like the wild cards. One of them has information about the deck on it, the other is just blank. Those are your protecting cards. Whenever you're not using the deck, you sandwich it between those two cards, face in. They like bind the deck. Generally, I put the written one on top and the other one underneath. And like I say, facing in, so that the pattern, the cover pattern is outward. Okay, you take the rest of the cards and you put them in what's called natural order. Very simple. The order of the suits is air, fire, water, earth. Shouldn't be any great surprise. And then the fifth suit is what's called the major arcana. Those are all the strange guys that have names like judgment, magician, emperor, and so forth. Now, the order of sequence write this down. Well, it's in your notes probably, but you might want to write it down anyway. It's very easy. You don't start with the ace. That's the top of the suit. You start with the two. So the top card on your deck will be the two of wands. That's the two of air. And then the three of wands, the four of wands, five of wands, right on up to the ten of wands. And then it will be the page of wands, the knight or horse of wands, the queen of wands, the king of wands, and the ace of wands. And then you do swords, two of swords, right on down to the ten of swords, page, horse, queen, king, ace. Then chalices, don't bring your tail chalice. And then plates. You all got that?
Yep.
Now that's going descending order down.
Right. So descending down. So the top card, the first card you're going to key is going to be the two of wands. And you'll work through the deck in that order. And then the major arcana, you do by their own numbers. Starts with the zero card in most decks, which is the Fool. No, I think actually that's not true anymore. I think the Fool, I can't remember. Fool might be the high card now. If it's zero, start with the Fool. If it starts with a one, I believe that's the Emperor. Start there. But they are numbered, so you just do them in the sequence they're numbered. So that's called natural order. So the first thing you do is put your deck into natural order, which you will never do again once you've keyed it. You only do that once. Now listen carefully to how you key. You use your plate. If you want to even get extra help, put candles up on either side of the plate. They're called wisdom and protection. You light the first one, the right one first, and then the left one off of one match. They can be either white, powder blue, or sun yellow. Okay. And then when you're ready to start keying, take the two of wands and put it on your plate. Right side up. And the way that you key it is you start asking questions about the card. Not what does it mean. You never ask that. It's not what this is about. What time of day is it? And you do this out loud. Who is that person? What are they doing? What are they thinking? The object is not to get an answer. That's not why you're asking questions. It's to engage you with the card. That's all that process is for. Is to keep you engaged in the card. Some people do it without asking questions, and that's okay, as long as the card windows. Because once, when a card is keyed, i.e. keyed to your energies and will work for you, it does what is called windows. It windows. What that means is either the colors become much brighter, or the whole picture looks real different, or it looks three-dimensional, or you feel like you're actually in the scene. Any of those things happen, the card has windows, and it's keyed. You put it aside off of your plate and go on to the next card. Should not take more than 1 or 2 minutes to key a card. Any questions about how you do this? Sorry, I think you're hearing me loud and clear about the asking questions, and that's to engage you with the card. What time of year is it? What is the what does that object mean to the person? Or, you know, why is there a lobster crawling out of the ocean? Whatever, you know. But it's not so that you will get an answer or that you will suddenly understand what the card means. That's not the point of it. The point of it is so that you are relating to that card in such a way that it opens for you. because then it is a real symbol. See, these cards are symbols, i.e. they access various energies of the universe. And with once they do that, they are a living dynamic symbol, and that's why you key them, because then they are, even though the fact is that almost all people who use cards never knew to key them. But we do. And therefore, they are living, dynamic, operating symbols. And when you do a reading, you are drawing a picture from the universe with those symbols and opening all these different accesses. So that's why we key them.
How often do you have to key them?
Once.
Just once, okay.
Never have to do it again. Unless the deck gets damaged or slammed a lot or something, but you wouldn't do that. Okay. Now, if there's any card that will not key, set it aside and bring that to class, and we'll talk about that. So you have a stack of non-keyed cards, you have a stack of keyed cards, and a third stack of any cards that will not key. Most people will not have much of that problem. Maybe if one or two or whatever, but it's generally not. Generally not an issue.
I just want to make sure I understand. So we know it's keyed if we recognize that they've windowed.
If it windows, it's keyed.
Okay.
Or when it windows, it's keyed.
And it's windows, what the color becomes brighter?
Yeah, it's either like the colors change or become really bright and vivid, or the card looks three-dimensional, alive. Sometimes people even see people breathing in the cards. You know, the people look like they're moving and breathing. Or sometimes if you're standing in front of a window, looking at a scene outside, if you get closer to the window, you can see more things.
Exactly.
Right, to the right and left, you know? And it's like that. Sometimes the cards will window. For some people, they window like that so that you can actually look at the scene and peer around the edges and see more things, and, you know, to the right or the left and up or down. So it's like, that's why they call it windowing, because it looks like you're looking at an actual scene out of a window. It's a neat process. You'll enjoy it. But you need a keyed plate for that. You don't have to do them all at once. That would be ridiculous. Do as many as is comfortable, then just, I would keep like a nice cloth or something to work on an altar or an area, and then just fold the cloth over what you're working on, the piles, or devise your own way of storage. But you don't have to put the deck away. You can leave it, or stack them on your plate. Stack all three stacks on your plate. That's a good way. That protects them, because the plate is key. Any questions on the keying process at all? If you get stuck or you forgot to ask something, come to lab or whatever. Email us, call me, whatever. But do get on this, because we've got about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks to get our decks keyed, but we're gonna start using them. And you can't use them to keep the whole deck.
How many cards are there in a deck?
I believe it's 77.
Okay.
I do want to have 78.
78, okay.
Yeah, the Rider Tarot deck.
Yeah, 78. It's not difficult to key. Very easy to execute. Okay. How to key your chalice and your plate. That's a refresher on the Athami. So you've got your fireball. You've lit it. Breathe some yellow into it. It's smoking nicely. You charge it by breathing sun yellow into it, into the charcoal, fire and air where you were cast. More sun yellow. Let no spell nor adverse surface last. More sun yellow. Not in accord with me. More sun yellow. Cleanse these tools and cleanse their space. More sun yellow. Fire from here send baneful trace. More sun yellow. Thus my will. So it be, and your last breath of sun yellow, and the fireball is ready. Okay. For the Asami, hold the Asami over it. Obviously, we're working in the south, facing north. Hold the Asami over the smoke, column of smoke, in your thumb and first finger, by the blade. It's vertical, upright. No, that's not the first thing. Sorry, that's the second thing. First thing is to pull the Asami through the smoke from north to south. One side of the blade, then the other side. But the whole knife. Until the smoke sticks and follows. Then turn it over and do the other side. Then you hold it over the column of smoke. It's just like you did the wand. Except, of course, with the wand, it's round, so you didn't bother to do two sides. With the knife, it's flat, so you do two sides. And once you've done that, and the smoke has streamed off the tip, then hold it again north to south, south to north, the point to the north, and stroke one side of the blade with your magnet 5 or 6 times, turn it over and stroke the other side evenly and smoothly from the hand grip up to the tip. And then, the last thing is to hold it over your sun yellow candle, which should be lit, and pull sun yellow energy up through the knife until the sun yellow energy comes out off the tip of the knife, streaming out radiatively. I'm sorry?
Mine was very, terribly hot.
Yeah. And it wasn't because you were holding it too close to the candle either, was it?
No.
No. Yeah, that's right. And you should be able to feel the sun yellow come through it. And then it's key. Don't forget to feel what it feels like by sweeping it over your arm first and then after you key it, so you feel the difference. A lot of people say that the hairs rise on their arm. If you don't have hairs on your arm, maybe the skin rises. Maybe you get goose flesh. Maybe you get mule flesh. Something happens. Okay, so that's the Asami. Now, the chalice. Hold the chalice vertically over the smoke, bowl towards the smoke until the bowl fills with smoke, and then you tip it up and you say, oh yes, the bowl is filled with smoke. Very nice. Then hold it in the smoke and move it through the column of smoke from right to left so that it smokes the entire outside of the chalice. You can roll it in the smoke, but you don't have to because the smoke will curl around it anyway. Just make sure the smoke curls around all the surfaces. Get a good column of smoke, and it'll just stream around it. And you can sort of slowly move it through the smoke, not north-south, from east to west. And then if you want to hold the bottom of the foot over the smoke, that's fine, and then you can sort of tip it up and see, oh yes, the smoke stuck to the bottom of the foot. Okay, that's the first up part of the operation. Now you have this second chalice, not one that's keyed, that you charged and has water and salt in it. You take a white cloth, can be a napkin, it can be a dish towel, whatever, and you dip one end in the water and salt. And you wipe the entire chalice clockwise, starting in the bottom of the bowl. With your first finger is adequate. You don't need two fingers. And keep dipping in the water and salt as you need to, and very carefully, paying very close attention, you wipe in spirals all surfaces of the interior of the bowl of the chalice. And when you come up to the rim, keep going. Don't stop and don't change direction. keep going on the outside now of the bowl. And if when you need to, you turn it over, which now looks like you're wiping counterclockwise. It is better to wipe the chalice and not turn the chalice against your finger. So just carefully, you can even set it down on your non-keyed plate and wipe. You don't have to, I mean, you can lift your finger and move around the stem if you need to, but keep wiping the entire surface evenly, paying very close attention. Go right down the stem and around the stem and down the top of the foot. If you want to turn back upright, now it's going to look like you're going clockwise again. Until you get to the rim of the foot and keep going in the same direction and do the entire bottom of the foot until you get to the very center. Then turn it back over and do the dry end of the cloth exactly in the same pattern.
Beginning from the bottom back up?
From the bottom of the bowl.
Okay.
Just exactly the way you did it with the wet, water and salt. You do it with the dry. And then it is keyed. You want to test your chalice by holding it above your arm or something in your right hand, say, and feeling what, or put your hand, another way of testing chalice before you keen after is to put your fingers inside the bowl. Don't touch the bowl. Stick it inside the bowl, see what it feels like. Unkeyed. Then key it. Stick your fingers inside and see what that feels like. Or like I say, beam energy towards your arm, unkeyed, and then keyed. And try both of those. And the main thing is be very, very certain and careful that you do not reverse directions. Because if you do, and you start doing a spell or something, you're going to end up with a bowl and a stem and foot all separate. They will break right apart. Or if you key your plate and someone did a spell matrix on their plate and they end up with two plates, they had this loud ping and went running into where they had the spell set up and the plates split right in half, like as though you separated the top part and the bottom part, the two parts, because they keyed one part clockwise and the bottom counterclockwise. So when you do the plate, it's exactly the same. You hold the plate, the eating surface of the plate over the fire bowl until the smoke clings. Now, you have to be careful when you tip it back up to look that you don't move too fast so that you dash all the smoke off. You want to lift it up carefully to the side so you see the smoke is clinging. When it is clung, then you do the back of the plate until it clings. You don't have to roll the edge of the plate. That's not necessary in the smoke. And then you put the plate down, you take the water and salt, wipe from the center of the plate all the way out clockwise to the rim edge of the plate and keep going. So you're going the same direction on the back of the plate, turn it over and it will look as though you're going counterclockwise. But you're not, you're moving the same direction you were going. To the very center of the back of the plate, turn it back over, use the dry cloth and wipe the same pattern. Starting in the center of the plate, going around clockwise all the way to the rim, and the outer part of the plate, the back of the plate, turning it over and doing it to the very center of the back of the plate, and the plate is keyed. Questions?
No.
No? So it's very efficient to key the chalice and plate at the same time, because you save charcoal, you save, you know. Get it done.
Is there a video?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
We're lousy in videos. We picture everything. You'll get to know Stephanie so well you will think you've known her forever.
It's not a bad thing.
I certainly enjoy it. So that's basically it. Think about how many different operations you all have learned so far.
lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all of these things, if you keep watching, you'll see that a lot of different traditions of different kinds, not just churches and so forth, a lot of groups, Masonic orders, and a lot of different groups do ritual, use a lot of these things, but oftentimes just parts and pieces. And you'll understand where the reference, you know, where it comes from in terms of what you're learning to do. So that is pretty much it. The candles, when you're keying your deck, help you stay brighter and fresher, too. If you want to put candles on either side of your plate. And think, just very soon, you all will be doing your own tarot readings, even. And for other people.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's it.
Would.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Alan, should I stay on about the coal stuff?